It's truly a great blessing to be here this afternoon as well as this morning. It's kind of fearful to come before you after the kind of preaching we had today. But it takes God to bless us to preach.
Amen.
I can make all the effort in the world, but without His grace and His power, I might as well be in an oratory in a college somewhere.
Amen.
It's no benefit. I was thinking, as one of the brothers said today, about animals and how people have more desire to help an animal sometimes than they do people. It reminded me of a story I'd heard a long time ago about a fisherman that had a little puppy dog on his boat. And that little puppy dog started barking every time he was trying to fish. He was trying to get the dog quiet. Finally, he got mad, and this is kind of a gruesome story. He got mad, and he took the little dog's paws and put them on the rail of the boat and hit him with a hammer. And the dog laid down and started whining then. So he hit the back paws with a hammer and threw him out in the water, let him drown. Now, we can feel in our hearts how cruel and gruesome that was. And I know everyone here this morning felt that's a terrible story. But what about our Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
What He went through. We hear it so often, we just kind of, like the old saying is, take it with a grain of salt. It ought to move us, like that story with the dog.
You're right, brother.
Every time we hear it, we ought to shrink to know, I caused that.
Amen.
I'm the one that made him do that.
Amen.
Now the Lord commanded it from the standpoint of His righteousness, but it was my fault.
Right.
So thinking of that, I'm betwixt a place in the Bible where to go, because I studied on something last night as I was at the hotel, but after all this preaching this morning, I'm on something else, and I pray that you'll ask God that He might deliver me for just a little bit of time.
Amen.
I get out of Brother Tim's way. He's an able minister. I learned a long time ago, and I don't mean to be crude, but I learned this back in school, that the mind can't comprehend any more than the hind end can stand. So I'll try not to keep you too long, if you'll pray that the Lord will bless us. But I'd like to talk about Jesus for a little while and the crown of thorns upon His head. Did you ever think about that? We see thorns and thistles out here in the world, and they're about a half inch or so long. And I seen a crown plaited one time. It was brought back from Israel that people said this is the kind of thorns they used for Jesus Christ. Now, whether it was or not, I can't tell you. I'm just repeating what I was told. But those thorns were about 3 inches long, and they had a sharp point to them like a needle. And I could imagine what that must have been to place upon somebody's head. You know, the crown of thorns means more than you think it does. When Jesus was hung on the cross, like I said, it wasn't God that hung Him on the cross, but it was by His determined counsel. Acts 2:23 says, Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have by wicked hands taken and slew and crucified Him.
Amen.
Crucified and slain. That's the way it reads. So we understand then that men did this, but there was a purpose in it.
Mm-hmm.
That purpose was our redemption.
Amen.
And I believe even though men, by the cruel acts of man and a soldier back in that day, plaited that crown of thorns, there was a purpose in it.
Right.
When you think about it, what this crown means. It says, surely in Isaiah 53, it says, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried away our sorrows. Yet we esteem Him not, smitten of God and afflicted. We never really sit down and analyze sometimes just what that night was like and what that crown represented. There was judgment in that crown. When you think about it, although it was a cruel act of man, I believe it was something that God was showing us that Jesus was getting ready to bore our sins. If you turn back to Genesis, and the third chapter, I believe it is. Yeah, the third chapter and the 17th verse. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast not hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat, for it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Now, the brethren talked this morning about God breathing the scriptures, the inspired word of God. Do you know what you're hearing right now is my breath? Without my breath, you would hear a thing.
Right.
That breath comes up through the diaphragm and all this, the voice box, and you hear it. And that's what God did to the disciples and to the apostles and to all the men of the Bible. When he breathed these, he actually spoke these words. Mm-hmm. And I think the words in the Bible, since it's such a small book, contain such truth, we ought to analyze every word that's in the Bible.
Amen.
Now, as we're studying this, notice he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. He didn't say for thy punishment, but for thy sake. It shall bring forth, let me back and read some more of it. It says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. Now he said, thorns and thistles, because of your sin, the earth is going to bring this forth. Mm-hmm. And this thorns and thistles is exactly what was placed upon Christ's head. This thorn crown that was placed upon his head was a judgment upon the elect of God, or you could almost say the world, because the whole world was cursed.
Yeah.
But the judgment that Jesus came to ratify was the children of God.
Amen.
And as he had this crown upon him, and it wasn't placed there very gingerly, you could just almost see the blood coming down his face. I had a minister tell me one time that Jesus never bled before he went to the cross, but I'm telling you, he did. Because he was beaten to the point that you couldn't recognize even who he was.
Right.
That's how smitten he was. But the judgment of this crown, it speaks about the curse that was placed upon us. So in essence, you could say because he wore that crown, he bore the curse of us. That was my curse that he was bearing. Jesus bore that crown, and Jesus bore that curse. Now, no matter how you feather your nest here in the world, you're going to find a thorn in it. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Everything you do, there's going to be something wrong. You can think about the hospitals, the nursing homes, all the jails in the world, and you could say because of the curse, they're here.
Yeah.
People want to blame that somebody gets dementia or something and say, like the Brother Mark preached about it, said, well, who caused that sin? How bad were they that would come to be? I'm telling you this morning, sin is in this world, and it affects every one of us.
Right.
Whether it's your mother, your father, your children, who it is, it's going to affect us as long as we're in this world.
Amen.
And it's not necessarily what I did, but of who I am.
Amen.
I'm the son of Adam. And as long as I'm the son of Adam and not the son of God from the natural standpoint of this body, I'm going to be a sinner.
Right.
I'm going to live in sin and commit sin, you know. So you can see that Jesus bore this cross for Romans 8 and 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth until now, travaileth and bringeth forth pain. All the world is going to be brought forth in pain until Jesus comes back. Things aren't going to get better. Everybody says, well, it'll be better further on. It's going to be worse further on.
Yeah, that's right.
There's things going on in this world now that I would have never dreamed of going on when I was a child.
Right. Amen.
And I can see the news and Congress and all this, and I'm not trying to be political, but as all these things take shape, it's getting worse and worse.
Right.
I'm so glad that I'm 69 years old. I never thought I'd say that, but I'm not long for this world. But I do dread that my son and his children and all those have to come up in it because they don't have the privileges I had. I had many mothers in Israel. So we think about the the judgment of that crown. What about the solemn misery of that crown? That crown was placed on his head, and then over here on verse 30 it says, "And they spat upon him, they took a reed and smote his head." Now that reed wasn't a weed. If you ever seen these reeds, they're pretty stiff. And they took that and they beat him up on the head with it to pound that crown down further. And as you think about that, he was standing there taking that. And I've mentioned this at Providence, Brother Mark was there. To think about Peter seeing that happening, he denied the Lord. And as Peter denied the Lord, there was more and more punishment come out for Jesus. Now Peter had a problem, and his problem was he thought everything was lost. But when that cock crowed, you know, Peter looked around, and there was Jesus staring at him. He learned something very valuable in that, is that even though Jesus was being tortured and punished, he was still in charge. Because that cock crew exactly when it was supposed to. You know, in all of Jerusalem, not a cock crew, not a rooster crowed. A rooster signifies something when you think about it. I'm getting off my topic here. But a rooster signifies something when it crows in the morning. It's the start of a new day. There was Peter denying the Lord. The cock crew, and it started a new day because Peter went out and wept bitterly at a tree and begged God's forgiveness upon him and thanked God that he is merciful enough to forgive him of all unrighteousness and cleanse us from our sins. So you see this crown that was placed upon Jesus now was a solemn crown. As we think about Jesus being on that cross, as I was telling you, men do a great, I guess, an injustice really, but they try to be nice when they portray Christ, you know, paint the picture of him, or paint a picture of him on the cross. I'm telling you this morning, this afternoon, you wouldn't want to see him. You wouldn't want to see what he looked like.
Amen.
I wrote down here, Isaiah says that, "And many were astonished at thee, his vestige." His vestige means his face, what he looked like. "His vestige was so marred, more than any man."
Amen.
"And his form more than the sons of men." When you think about how he was punished and spat upon, think about God himself standing there and letting somebody spit upon him. How mad we get when somebody does something to us. And, you know, somebody may spray as they're talking, and we even get a little aggravated at that. But if a man just sits there and just spits upon you, you'd feel very irate. But our Lord stood there and took it. And then, like I said, he turned and looked at Peter. And then I want you to see the mockery of that crown. Instead of paying homage to the Lord, they knelt down and said, "Hail, King of Jews," and spat upon him and slapped his face. And then he had a beard. Now, when my son was little, I had a full beard. I can show you some pictures of me. You wouldn't believe how much hair I had on my face. One thing my son liked to do was reach up and grab a hold of it and hang on. And it was all I could do to keep taking his hand away. Take his hand away because it hurt. I can imagine what it was like for somebody to stand there at the Lord and grab one little hair and just jerk it out. Another hair, jerk it out. Pull the hairs of his beard. We ought to feel so ashamed today that we put God in that position. We ought to thank him so much, Lord, that you suffered what I don't have to suffer. You wore the crown that I don't have to wear. You came and came forth for the sheer glory of that crown. Now, there was misery in that crown, and there was mockery in that crown. You know, Jesus came at a time of a Roman world government, a Greek culture, and a Hebrew world of religion. All right, look at today. What do we got today? In the government today, they want to do away with the Lord altogether. They take him out of schools. Now, actually, they don't take him out anywhere. As long as they have a test in school, there's going to be prayer in school. I can tell you that.
Right.
It may not be in the verbal prayer, but there'll be some child sitting there praying that he passed the test. But they don't want you to mention his name. Colleges that were founded upon religion.
Right.
that was based upon religion doesn't want to even mention religion in their school anymore. There's room for homosexuality. There's room for blasphemy. There's room for idolatry. But there's no room for the Lord.
Right.
Not in this day and age. And as we think about that mockery of that crown, the shame of that crown, the culture we have today, try to stand in any one of them schools and speak the name of Jesus and see what happens to you. And then we think about the religious world we have today. The brother, and I appreciate him so much this morning, saying that he didn't want to talk about other churches. Well, that's fine. I don't want to talk about them either, but most of them ain't nothing but a glorified country club with a steeple. That's all they are. You don't hear about Jesus and him crucified anymore.
Right.
You hear about what we're going to do Wednesday night. You hear about how the ball team did. You hear about this and hear about that. I go to hear about Jesus and him crucified.
Amen.
Tell me more and more about Jesus. Let me learn at the foot of Jesus. Let me learn those things of why he wore that crown, why he suffered like he did. I don't like the picture of him suffering, but I like to hear about it because I know he did it for me. And when it makes something in my heart stir and move, I can feel a closeness to God that I can't feel any other time in the world. That I can have a relationship with God to know that he died for me. Now, there's a saving ministry in that crown. Now, I realize that we say that we were saved on the cross. But in essence, I really believe the whole thing was our saving. All the way to the cross. That he suffered for us. And when we think about it, he hath made him to be sin for us. That's what 1 Corinthians 5:21 says. He who knew no sin became sin for us. You know, Jesus is the only person in this world that controlled his own death.
Right.
He didn't have to die. Then you think about it. What kills you? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Jesus had no sin. He didn't have to die. He chose to die, and he's the only one that ever chose to die. You say, nah, somebody committing suicide, they choose to die. No, they just chose when they was going to die. They were going to die anyway. Sometime they were going to die. But Jesus actually said, I lay down my life of myself. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down. And he willingly went to the cross to take our sins, and sin's what killed him. Not his sin, but your sin, my sin. So the wages of sin is death. Jesus saw all this, and when we think about it, go back and think about Abraham. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, when God told Abraham to take his son and sacrifice him at the altar, Abraham went. And I love the question, Isaac. You know, he was a strapping young lad by then. He didn't have to willingly go with his father. But being obedient to his father, he went. And as they're going up to the hill, he said, Father, here's the wood. Here's the knife. You got the fire. Where's the lamb? Where's it at? We don't have one with us. And like I said, words are important. God said, or Abraham said, God himself will provide God himself will provide a sacrifice. In other words, God himself is going to be the sacrifice, not some lamb or something. When they got up there, what did they find when Abraham pulled up a knife to slay his son? Found a ram in a thicket of thorns. A crown of thorns upon his head, pointing to the day that Jesus Christ would have the same crown upon his head. Abraham had made a lot of sacrifices, made a lot of altars up until that day, and you won't find the scriptures where he ever made another altar. It would be blasphemy for us to make an altar because Jesus Christ was the premier altar, premier sacrifice. We don't need to sacrifice it anymore.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, and we're to do that. But who are we to present it to? Not some altar in front of the church, but to Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
That's who we're to present it to.
Amen.
Then we have the sovereign majesty of that crown, and I'll try to wrap it up with this. When I think about Charlemagne, had a big crown. Oh, I mean, it was pretty. Richard the Lionheart had a crown that had such bits of gold and jewels on it that he had to have braces put on his shoulder to help hold up the crown so he could hold his head up or it would just fall over. It weighed so much. I know you've seen on TV or different places probably the Queen of England, the crown jewels. You could take that crown that's in England and you could have that crown, sell it. You could buy enough to build this church several times over and have plenty of money left over. So those crowns were all worth a great deal. What was this crown worth? What was this crown, the price of this crown? I'll tell you what it is. You'll find it in Malachi in the 3rd chapter, the 17th verse. And he says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Jesus said, "My crowns and my thorn are my children." Amen. You're his jewels. Amen. You're what made up that crown. Amen. That precious crown. When you think about it, Jesus, the only way that he could stand all this, Hebrews 12 says that looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the shame, despised the shame, and endured the cross. Amen. When you think about what he went through for the joy that was set before him. Right. You know, sometimes we go to the doctor and we got a pain in our side or somewhere, and they say, "Well, we're going to have to operate." Do you know what they're doing? They're taking a knife and cutting your body, but you're willing to do that for the joy of being healed or whatever it is, being rid of that pain. Jesus said, "For the joy that I seen that I was going to accomplish on that cross, I wore that crown." So the next time you sit down and you think about the misery that's in this world, think about the misery our son, or the Lord's son, went through for your salvation. That you might come out here today. It's such a trial to come to church sometimes. We think, "Oh, that's a big effort." I'm going to tell you something. You've never put out any effort that God didn't reward you for.
That's right.
More than abundantly what it was worth.
Amen. Yeah.
We can go out into the cold and do a lot of things in this world. But it seems like when it gets cold or rainy or something, we just can't make it to church. It's raining today. I'm going to tell you a little funny story that happened, and this happened. We had a deacon in the church when I was young, and the pastor, he was a good pastor, Elder Kenneth Cato, he's dead and gone now. But he asked that deacon one Sunday, he said, "Why wasn't you here last week?" He said, "I had a gallon of milk in the refrigerator, and I needed to drink some of it." And Kenneth just stared at him and said, "What?" He said, "Well, you preached that one excuse is as good as another. If you miss church, I'll just give you that one." So when you think about it, that's the truth. One excuse is as good as another. May the Lord bless you.